Ladies and men of the gentle disposition, welcome back once again to Doom Radio, also known as Tango TV, the only Doom podcast with two names. You know me as Alfonso, and you're listening to the first in our revitalized series of Where's All the Data Review podcasts. It's great to be back. Thank you for keeping the seat warm for me. We were kind of in a blackout there. In fact, I think the only podcasts we've been putting out in the last 2 years were an interview conducted by Bloodshedder, who doesn't normally step into the fold, and the 2015 CAC Awards retrospective back in March. So it's impressive we've been maintaining the sorts of listenership that we have. Bloodshedder installed an app. I'm not sure if that's over at iTunes, which I assume we're still operating. In any case, as of about 3 weeks ago, we were still getting upwards of 80 listeners per day, which is incredible in two senses of the word, almost. So, thank you very much for continuing to listen to Doom Radio, and that could be the kick up the arse we need to get ourselves back into gear and producing some content for you. New podcasts and new interviews in particular. So, thanks once again, and it's also thanks to three people in particular in Terminus, Kinsey, and Sergeant Shivers, who I'm sure some people will recognize as the second sergeant to grace the shallow history of Doom Radio. Anyway, those guys have put together a new podcast called Intermission. It wasn't actually initially for Doom Radio. I sort of wrangled them in when I saw them link to the first episode on ISC a couple of weeks ago. And it's a cool little talkback program that I think will be replacing Program B as the premier talkback program for Doom Radio. They are going to be discussing all the sorts of things that we used to talk about, but with much more gusto. And it's a bit of a rort, to be honest. Their two new episodes can be listened to over at doomradio.org or on the relevant thread in Doomworld. So check it out. Now, to the matter at hand in Where's All the Data, what you've all been tuning in for, we are going through something of a format change. We're about to, anyway. We're still tinkering with it, really, so feel free to leave your comments over at either of those sites, and I'll probably leave a segment at the end of each podcast just to address your concerns or questions, or speak about any of the WODs discussed. We used to be working in tandem with the Doomworld Megawad Club thread, but since that's frequently dealing with things that have been released sometimes in excess of a decade ago, and since we're trying to be a little more contemporary here on Doom Radio, what we'll probably do is work with the New Stuff Chronicles instead. The most recently released, as opposed to the one yet to be released. And also in a desperate bid, probably futile as well, to keep that whole enterprise ticking over at the same time. The keen observers among you will also notice that Tarnsman is no longer here. That's because I chucked him out. Like yesterday's trash, baby. On the street. People upstairs said he wasn't contributing enough, so out he went. No, in truth, he'll probably be back later on, just while we're finishing twiggling the knobs on this thing. And also once I get my new rig in December, which should enable me to jump back into interviews with more confidence without my computer exploding on me on Skype. So looking forward to that, hopefully. And in the meantime, you're just going to be stuck with me and my ratty voice. So good luck. Where's All the Data Then is going to start kicking off now with edition number 513. Very strange number to be getting along with, but you can't really pick and choose when you've just been spontaneously reignited into existence. Get to the reviews, goddammit. Alright people, here's the lowdown, so listen good. Pay attention. I'm only going to say this once. Although you can just go back and replay this as many times as you like, so whatever. I'm not going to be able to review everything. I only have so much time on my hands, and I do have a lot of time on my hands, but not that much. I'd effectively be reviewing almost everything new that's coming into the Doom community, so stuff that noise. What I will be doing instead is just rummaging around what's there, having a quick sneak peek. I kind of have to do that anyway if I'm part of the CAC Awards team. And I'll be picking out those map sets and projects that I think to be the best of the bunch this week, or otherwise very close to the best. Or perhaps the worst, if it's worth mentioning. Only if there's an interesting angle to be worked up. We can give these names if you like. We can call them, well, What of the Week, or Where's All the Data of the Week? Where's All the Data Worth a Peek? Where's All the Data Up Shit Creek? No, that's. Don't really want to be working a deliberately bad angle, for no other reason. No surprises to anyone, I think, if you're familiar with the 513th Chronicles, one I'll be satisfying that first category with. Everyone and his dog already knows what it is, including the dog's bloody friends, and their goldfish. It's Ancient Aliens by Skillsaw and Friends. Now, this is, of course, the 32 map Megawad for Boom, using Marine's Best Friend dehacked features, which is always cool to see, and it certainly deserves all of the plaudits that have been coming in its direction over the last 6 or so months. If not for what it's been achieving within the walls of the community, then certainly outside of it. I can't remember off the top of my head any level set, that is to say, not just directly a mod, like Brutal Doom, for example, that has been featured and spoken so highly about on esteemed websites like PC Gamer, and I'm not sure if Kotaku falls into that category. In fact, I don't think they do, because they hosted Greso 2 at some point. Yeah, don't think so. Back to Saturn X, when it was released, of course, also did get something of a shout-out, and was making some waves, but nothing to this extent, I don't think. And it's not difficult to see why when you take a look at some of those screenshots. Everything's extremely vibrant and colorful, and it serves as a wonderful advertisement to all that the id Tech 1 engine is capable of in the 21st century in the hands of people like Skillsaw. And not sure that's what he had intended to achieve when he set out. In fact, especially not when you consider the origins of the Megawad, which we'll get to in a second. Not often discussed, I don't think. But he's going to get those plaudits and accolades whether he likes it or not, so mad props. The story of Ancient Aliens, then, is, well, tongue planted so firmly in cheek as to be basically bursting out the other side. In the shell of a nut, just think Giorgio A. Tsoukalos and his ancient astronauts theory, and you're halfway there. In fact, you may be all of the way there. I don't think Skillsaw would have placed too much more thought into it than that. Just as an excuse to stash in some cool locations, mix together some Egyptian and cosmic architecture and the like. But really, the adventure in a map set like this doesn't come from reading the text put in a text file before you play the thing, or whatever crops up in between episodes. It's all about the narrative told through level design. So, for example, in this set, taking a look at something like Map 19, where the player crashes his ship and has to scramble his way back and find a foothold, or at the end of the previous map, in which you're being bandied around between planets, really does give a sense of place within the universe that Skillsaw has crafted, and that can't really be understated. I think I've read from a couple of people's reviews that didn't actually like the gameplay of the set too much, that they were actually willing to haul themselves over the finish line simply because they were curious as to where the map set would take them next. And I can't think of too many other level sets off the top of my head that have had that sort of effect on people. So, again, more plaudits. To actually speak of how it plays, of course, which is probably the meat of this review, it's interesting to look at the origins of the set to begin with. I did sit down and talk with Skillsaw a little bit about 2 months ago, rather he was talking at IRC, and I happened to happen upon some of his comments. And it wasn't originally intended to be a Megawad, I don't think. It was a solo effort that was uncovered by a few people within the inner circle of the Duminati, and they liked what they saw and wanted in on the act, I suppose. Probably Skillsaw was very happy to shoulder the burden. In any case, it was all over pretty quick spot. I don't think development took much longer than a year, possibly even less than that. Could be making that up, actually. You can track this transition in development just by looking at how all of the guest maps are stashed, basically in E3, with just a couple of outliers, like Map 9 or 8, I think it is, by Joshi. And I think Skillsaw actually lamented not being able to mix them into the set a little bit. It does have some consequences. The map set does lose traction a little bit with regards to the continuity of its theme and placement that was being discussed a second ago. but doesn't take too big a hit from it, and ultimately I think the guest maps do contribute heavily, in a good way. But stepping out of any one of those guest maps, save perhaps for Esalfortium's in Acerola Orion, please ignore the anime, and AD, and then back into the realm of Skillzor, you do actually begin to develop an idea of just how distinct his style actually is. Which is interesting because we like to think of him as being very influential within the community, and of course he is. Perhaps even more influential than the likes of Ribix and Danne with Sunlust. But really his style is very choreographed, and Sunlust is quite choreographed as well. But this is more interesting to me because it's much more accessible to the average player versus the Slaughter of Sunlust, for example. And when you play many of the levels in Ancient Aliens, even when you're provided with optional tangents to explore, exploring those options, you're still very much at the mercy of precisely what it is that Skillzor wants you to experience with the level. That they're quite precisely crafted. And so if you're talking about the map in review or in the Doomworld Megawad Club or something, you can actually speak with more confidence about how the map itself plays versus what your particular experience of the map was. So in that sense, one might feel confident in saying that it's a railroaded experience, which isn't necessarily bad. It just means that you are at the mercy of the ability of the level designer to provide a varied experience. And the map set might actually take a bit of a hit in the replayability department as well. Although I might have to eat my own words in a couple of months or years if the speedrunning scene suddenly goes haywire on Ancient Aliens. But anyway, Skillzor knows how to craft them. You have everything from surprise Icon of Sin maps to Berserk maps and everything in between. And even when you do have a series of maps that plays quite similarly at a stretch, then the scene's changing, or you're being surprised by the introduction of new monsters, of which there are a few. You'll remember I mentioned the Marine's Best Friend dehack features, and they're used to great effect here to provide more variety in the bestiary department. So really there's too much fresh material that any criticism I can level at the map set with regards to the precise details of the layouts or whatever not changing enough to surprise. Everything else provided does keep the wheels turning and the mind a-working. It's quite a difficult set as well, just quietly. Things really do begin to heat up towards the end. I know I was struggling, but I could also just be shit. Nikos, you play everything coming out in the community, might think it's par for the course, but not me. Anyway, the first few maps are quite interesting in that they feel almost like tutorial levels. That's a quality of progression that I don't often see in many level sets. They're unique in that they try to hone the player's skills that are likely to be used in the more difficult encounters later on in the set. Skillzor has a thing for utilizing precise monster placement and cover in layouts that are designed to make the player move around, to be spatially aware of what's going on around them. And particularly maps 1 and 3 target the player's skill in this regard. And I think he was lamenting the fact that they felt a little bit too much like speed maps, but I quite like how basic they were and elemental, and certainly they look just as good as anything else in the set. Frankly, if you can survive those first few maps and then burst through onto the other side in map 6 or 7 or whichever, then you're home dry. You can go straight for the exit in map 30 and enjoy everything else that Ancient Aliens has to offer. It's certainly one of the most polished, well-crafted, complete-feeling map sets, releases of 2016. And I think everyone will feel comfortable in saying that, regardless of what they think about how it plays. My favorite maps in no particular order. Map number 4, Bad Medicine Men. This one because I'm a sucker for being bandied around by a threat and not knowing how to deal with it because I don't have any ammo. I actually love that shit. One of my favorite map sets is Return to Hadron, which is a master at forcing the player to manipulate monster movement and shepherd and stuff. In this case, it's the other way around. Archfiles being positioned so that you're constantly being aware of your available playing space, not getting stuck, and not being able to deal with them immediately. So that sort of movement-focused-based gameplay is something I'm a big fan of, as long as there's not too much of it. And indeed, the first few maps, as discussed, are largely like that, but this was my highlight. Map 31 in Grey Dwarf was also pretty sweet. This was a guest map by Stewboy, who also provided the OST for the set. Easily one of the greatest things to listen to. In fact, I wouldn't feel uncomfortable listening to it outside of the game, to be honest. It's that fine a composition. And this map I really enjoy for its explorative value. I think standalone, I would have liked it regardless, but as part of the set, it serves as an excellent pace breaker compared to the finely constructed works of Skillsaw and Company. Stewboy's map is a little looser, and there's actually something charming to its stark level of detailing and how everything's spaced out. It even feels quite creepy in places with the accompanying music. Then there's Acerola Orion, map 22, by Esselfordium. Once again, you can choose to ignore that anime reference. Actually, I was blissfully unaware until he pointed it out to me a couple of months ago, dropping the bomb. Ruined everything for me, it did. And I may just have ruined everything for you, too. Suck it up! Anyway, he's been taking a few leaves out of the John Romero book of level design ever since he participated in Doom 2 the way it did back in 2013, though that's just a guess. Certainly, it's difficult to look at a level like this and not think the Living End. What with the player circumnavigating a central pit on a mostly linear path up to an ultimate objective. And once you get to that objective and complete it, there's a real sense of adventure and accomplishment. Finally, Leave Your Soul Behind, map 16, which is a terrible pun, it must be said, and definitely at least half of the reason why I'm putting it in my top 4 or 5 or whatever. This is probably the best example, as I think I mentioned earlier in the podcast, of narrative through level design, and it's probably the one map that could stand on its own 2 feet outside of the set better than any other map. Lots of maps could qualify as that, but this one in particular. And especially in a megaworld that is dominated by levels that are relying mostly on the setting to convey a sense of progression through the universe that Skillsaw has created. I can only think of one or two others, such as the titular Ancient Aliens map, and perhaps Gift of Denial immediately afterwards, that seem to focus as much, if not more so, on trying to push that narrative or that sense of place. And it's yet another string to the bow of a man who's continuing to show that there are many ways, when conducting a one-man megawatt, or in this case, a mostly one-man megawatt, and keeping things fresh as you're going along without relying too much on just the resources that you've thrown into the mix. So those are my top, I think, four picks. That's just an arbitrary number, isn't it? That's fine. Suffice it to say, there wasn't anything that jumped out at me as being horrid or anything. Maps such as Map 23, Trinary Temple, did draw quite a bit of criticism from the Doomworld Megaworld Club, but I think this is as much to do with just the departure in game style from the 22 maps, roughly, that preceded it, than the map itself being bad. I think if most people played Pinchy's map in isolation, they would have been quite pleased with it, or in fact impressed with qualities of it that, when placed inside the context of Ancient Aliens, were more impressive in the other maps around it. So, again, the sense of adventure and advancing through an alien world and that sort of thing. So really, everyone did a stand-up job, but mad props in particular for Skillsaw for continuing to put out such quality material. I frankly would not be surprised if he tried to make a break for the mountains at this point. If I were him, I would certainly like to see the back of Doom for at least a few months. But it's been out for a while now. I understand he's returned. I've seen him around and about in the ISE channels and on Doomworld, I think. So, looking forward to whatever he's going to put out in the near future. But for now, we're 20 minutes into the podcast, almost exactly. In fact, we are. It's time to move on from Where's All the Data of the Week to Where's All the Data Worth a Peek. So the chances are pretty strong that at this point you've already taken a gander as to what you think the most interesting map set in the 513th lineup is, if not the most fun to play, then certainly worth a peek, it would be the Japanese Community Project by the Japanese community. And certainly it is interesting. I was not actually aware that there was a Japanese community, and I could probably spend quite a lot of time talking about the measure of influence that a larger site such as Doomworld has on the individuals that we're all aware of. In any case, everyone has likely played that set, or is on the verge of playing it, has it in their backlog, and recommending it straight after Ancient Aliens would be hurling at least a day's worth of playing time onto your Dooming Souls, so I'm not going to do that to you. In addition, this segment is more intended to pick out those things that people might have overlooked. So you can think of me as being the guy walking around the back of the New Stuff Banquet, picking out all the foods for thought that people have left behind. The chewy bits. So here I can't really go past mentioning, just briefly, Tom Mustaine's Map 14 homage, which was rejected from Master Levels, interestingly. Not entirely sure why, because if you take a look at the design of the level, it's quite unique from that of McGee's. It's far more segmented. It does have those cloisters with moats around them, and particular motifs selected from that map. But otherwise, I mean, Plutonia was licensed by id, and that had half of its maps there were rip-offs of maps from Doom and Doom 2, so it's a little bit confusing. I wonder if it went over their heads, just like it went over heads of half the community and still is doing. It's an important point, people. Talk it up. It's time now, however, to sacrifice some poor bastard's map set on the altar of my own personal soapboxing measures, so apologies in advance to Donel Enriquez, otherwise known as Jazzmaster on the forums. Did some snooping around on the guy, turns out that he's not actually a master of jazz. That's very disappointing. Definitely at least a couple of black stones in his basket to begin with. But he's put out a set called Innocence X, which is the fifth in his ongoing series of Innocence titles. And it's directly inspired by the likes of Doom 64 and PSX Doom, which I have to admit I'm beginning to marry in my own mind as a single entity at this point. If someone likes one, they tend to like the other, and I guess there's tons of crossover, so that only makes sense. But what I find interesting about this is that it shares something in common with quite a few projects that take inspiration from those sources in the Doom community, and that they elect to be more ports rather than new experiences that simply take ideas rather than direct offerings from those games. In the case of Innocence X, this map set is like a miniature version of Doom 64, only with the lean that is unique to the Innocence series. I was fortunate enough to playtest the 2014 release of Innocence, that's the first one in the series, I think, and many of the criticisms I leveled at the map set there are also true here. The layouts and the detail and the gameplay, really, every quality of it can be summed up as being quite simple and almost clinically clean in the way that Peekulf's earlier maps were, or even after he became more streamlined in his approach. And I suppose there is actually a bit of a charm to that when you then throw over the top of it a broad brush influence in something like PSX Doom with its coloured lighting and sound effects, which are the two standouts in this set. It's more or less relying on the resources to carry the impression of those games, as well as direct ideas being picked out. But on the whole, it is extremely bland. But I found it interesting because of the community's attitudes towards creating things like the Total Conversion for the PSX Doom. Happy birthday, by the way. Belated. Rather than things like Threshold of Pain from Ciliano, which I find to be much more interesting. Not an experience that I actually enjoyed all that much, but I could still enjoy to an extent thinking about the potential for expanding upon PSX Doom-like gameplay and atmosphere. But what I would really like to see more of, and what we're getting next to none of at the moment, is an expanse of the very shallow history of Doom 64 EX. We have an editor available to us. People who are familiar with working with Doom Builder 2 can really easily make the transition. So I'd just like to see the community focus more on putting Vertice of Devoid in that department and using the ideas rather than specific moments from those games to create a new experience. So Threshold of Pain is one such example, but I think we can do even more to evolve that domain beyond a mere fad at this point. It seems to be operating on the fumes of nostalgia, which is fine to a point, but it's been out for a long time now, and I think if to show due diligence would be to really help it grow rather than wallow in its own past. Jeez, that sounded dramatic. Anyway, it's frankly not too bad a set. For my saying it's bland, as I say, there is a certain charm to it. In Innocence X, and certainly if you've played the previous Innocence titles, then this can only be seen as an improvement. He's come along in steps, if not leaps and bounds, has Jazzmaster, and he's always willing to take on board criticism. And if you're a fan of either one of those games in 64 or PSX, then the chances are pretty strong that you'll find some measure of enjoyment here, where I didn't, on the whole. So too, if you like 2002 or Doom Odyssey, given that I made the comparison with Paul Korfiadis back there. In some quarters, my opinion is not very well shared, so knowing that I was not too big a fan of Innocence X should send some people scrambling for the download link. In any case, that brings this more or less to a close for this episode of Where's All the Data, the revitalized series of the Review Podcast, and thank you very much for tuning in. We hope to be continuing to provide lots more content for you, and in the meantime, while you're waiting for me and my sorry ass to get back into gear, you can hop on over to Terminus and Friends with their new podcast, In Intermission. It's a bi-weekly thing. I think we were supposed to be oscillating, actually, between his and my podcast with some interviews thrown into the mix, and so far I haven't been holding up my end of the bargain very well. But you can expect a new podcast, In Intermission, to come out this weekend, I believe. So keep your eyes peeled on doomradio.org. And please feel free to leave suggestions and comments in the comments section. Feedback as to the format, perhaps the sound of my voice, its accent. I can easily just change countries. If you'd like me to ship over to Jamaica, if you feel that would improve the quality of the podcast, then I'll be more than willing to not do so. No, frankly, that's stupid. But so too, bashing out my voice box with the backside of a shovel, not really on the cards. Anyway, thank you very much for tuning in to Doom Radio, and Where's All the Data, the first in the revitalized series of the Review Podcast. We hope to catch you next time on the flip side. Keep playing Doom, keep listening to Doom Radio.